Hype Network presents the frightening, alarming, real-life tales show. This show brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, and may cover topics that may disturb you. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these tales, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your podcast now. The frightening, alarming, real-life tales show firmly sides in evidence-based information, self-fact-checking, and credible news sources. Be vigilant for fake news and disinformation, and always question sources. We want to emphasize learning about the horrors of the past so that we are not doomed to repeat it in the future. We encourage you to exercise your right as a citizen of your country, hold your leaders accountable for injustices that your society faces, and vote for leaders that have a good track record, experience, and advocacies that you believe in. You are never too young to participate in national discourse. Educate yourself on the issues of your country and become a voice in your social circles, art, and activities. Your voice matters because when one person stands, you inspire others to stand up as well. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Hi, hello.
Welcome. Nins.
Yes, what?
I'm so tired. Don't you just like want to sleep for like 10,000 years? Tapos yun na. Like you wake up.
I slept like most of the days for the past few days.
Oh, well, good for you. Good for you. Nyeh, 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 nyeh.
This is the frightening, alarming, real life tales show.
The show where we talk about real life scariest stories. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Ninya. Tell me, why do you seem so scared?
909 lying down dead. One third of them were children.
She would swoop down and drain the blood of the infant.
Everyone in London knows that this place is one of the most haunted places.
It's haunted as fuck.
This place is haunted as fuck. God.
So sit back, relax, and try to get crazy with fright.
Welcome one and all to the frightening, alarming, real-life tale show. The show where we talk about real-life scariest stories. I'm Andrew, and I'm here with my co-host...
Hi, I'm Ninya, and I'm a little sick, so sorry for weird voice. Hi.
Oh yeah, you do sound sniffly. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I'm like really concerned that I'll suddenly sneeze, and then like it's extremely loud. Cause like I've been sneezing for like the past few days now, and it's like super loud.
How do you sneeze, pala? Do you go like achoo? Do you go like that, or you go like? Are you like that?
The last one sounds like you're covering your mouth. Sometimes kasi ako, I don't cover my mouth.
Yucky. So disgusting. You're like spreading germs everywhere.
It's my germs in my room that no one goes in. Hi.
Anyway, so you know how last episode was the birthday episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said that we were going to have a birthday roast on my Twitch. Well, that did not happen. I changed plans. I changed my plan because I felt like nobody was going to join. So I was like, okay, no, we're not going to do that. I might as well just change it to a game night where everybody's invited. So that was super fun. I had super fun in doing that. So sad, Nins, that you have really bad internet. You couldn't join.
No, I cannot.
Yeah, but it was super fun. Thank you to everybody who joined the birthday stream. I had a blast. Anyway, do you remember when Davao Paranormal Society just randomly sent me a picture of a ghost?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you remember like how it happened? Like we were just talking about like me interviewing him, right? And then all of a sudden he goes, "Oh, I saw this ghost." And then he just sends like this weird picture. Mind you, it was at 3 a.m.
The perfect time to send a horror photo.
Exactly. And how freaked out I was. I was so scared for my life. I was like, what the hell? Why would he just send that?
Because it's a great time to send a photo.
Yeah, it's a great time to send a photo.
It's a perfect time.
Have you ever seen like a photo that's like scary? Or something like that?
Probably.
Like a haunted photo?
For haunted photos. Like, every time someone tells me a haunted photo, no word. That's the thing that comes into my mind. Was like old black and white photos. Na, like, you have to stay still for like a specific like number of seconds or like mm-hmm. a minute or so, so that like they can actually get the photo. Because like photos nowadays, you can just one click and then bam, instant. That here's a photo. But back then, mm-hmm. like cameras were very new, so like you have to stay still. So that's why like pictures of old people, like ancient times, like they're so stiff and then they don't smile and whatever. Because they have to stay still. So some photos, if they move, they would have like some weird silhouette na figure or whatever. So people would like consider that as like, oh look, there's a ghost in the photo or whatever. So that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, I mean like, you know, especially when people are moving in like in old photos, mm-mm. it's so easy to distort the photo, right?
Yeah, there are like, there's like two heads or like it's a ghost of like someone they know or whatever. Because of like the movement, because like the slightest movement back then, it would cause a sort of weird distortion or ghost na apparition in the photo.
You know the real horror in all that? The real horror is you trying to stay still.
Stand still.
yeah, exactly. Could you imagine like if you need, you have to take a photo, right? But then you need to pee.
Oh my god. Or like you suddenly sneeze.
Yeah, and then you suddenly sneeze. God. And you know, before like films like would cost so much money, right? It was so expensive to produce a photo. Oh god. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if you took a family photo and then you were the one to ruin the family photo because you sneezed?
Photo,
yeah. Oh god.
Like at least it's not as long as like way back before photos were made. Like it was paintings and like, oh, it's portraits and blah blah blah. You have to
stay. Oh yeah.
That's like longer.
That's even longer worse. Yeah, that's even worse. You know what? Just imaginary, like, you know, just save it to your brain. You know, just go ch-ch-ch, and then like the image is in your brain already.
If only.
If only. So if you didn't know already, today's topic is all about photos. Now, we have got stories for you that you guys can actually see the photos of if you join the Facebook group, the Farts Tutors Facebook group. We will leave the link in the show notes of the episode, and there you can see the photos for yourself. So, before we talk about it, we'll roll the ads in, you know, so that gives you time to go and follow the group so that you guys can catch up and see the photos for yourself. We'll be right back.
My nose is
itchy. Before we get back to the episode, you should check out this Pipe Network show. Catch the Pizarra Tales weekly as we tackle issues about education and share experiences about teaching. Hosted by JM Australia, available on your favorite podcast platforms. There you go. The best camera is your brain. Okay, so... I don't know what I'm doing. So how would you imagine, Nins, a 1900s Paris? You know, 20th century Paris.
I most likely, like, there are, like, a lot less tourist-wise. Like, uh-huh. Because, like, now, if they say, if you go to, like, Eiffel Tower and like yung mga tourist spots, it's always like filled with a bunch of people, and like you can't really mm-hmm. enjoy it as much.
Yeah, and it's a lot of rude French people. I'm not saying like they are rude based off of experience. I mean, it's just a meme that they're putting out, right? You know, like, have you seen those TikToks where they're like being rude to people? it's the place will be full of.
Maybe they just got tired of like all the tourists. Maybe I probably if I live in like a hotspot tourist destination area and then all these tourists keeps coming and going and then there are like most of them are Karens and like, oh, I paid a lot of money to go here.
Most of them are Karens.
Shit like that. Like I would be so pissed. So probably like they're annoyed with people. Like just leave.
Well, you could probably imagine, though, that the Eiffel Tower is still super shiny because the Eiffel Tower was just built like 1987, you know? So just like, it's been like, what, 20 years, right?
Roughly.
Yeah. At least like roughly 20 years.
Less than 30,
yeah. And like there's people there walking around, you know, they've got those, you know, those nice dresses, you know, from the Gilded Age, you know, like those types of dresses, right? Yeah. You can probably imagine that people are walking with parasols and stuff like that. Well, in a very old building somewhere in Paris lives, well, it's the office of the Attorney General. And he receives a letter, and on it, it says, "Monsieur Attorney General, I have to inform you of an exceptionally serious occurrence. One of the prominent families is hiding a dirty secret." I hope you guys forgive me for that accent.
Jack,
I just tried my best.
You?
No, that is not Jack.
I did not know Jack was French.
No, it's Jacques.
I hate Jacques.
So he receives a letter, right? The Attorney General, and it's handwritten and unsigned. So if you look at one of the photos that I sent you, you should see the photo. Yes, pick up your phone. It's literally one of the photos that I sent to you. You see the first one, right? So the first one, that's the letter. That's the handwritten note to the Attorney General.
Honestly, the note is like me writing for if I was like if I was a doctor, this is my writing.
You would not understand a single thing because it's in French. I mean, you recognize letters. There's D.
I mean, you can read it like le.
What do you mean le? Le. Le. Chinese.
De la le. Notation.
This is us. Okay, yeah.
French.
Don't torture yourself. It's fine. I already have the translated. I have the translated summary of the note. So he was like, okay, there is something going on with one of the prominent families in Paris, and so I have to go look for it. He spurs into action. And eventually, his investigation leads him to the Monnier estate. So the Monnier family has a spotless reputation. The mom, Madame Monnier, frequently donated to charity, and like she did like a lot of like charity works. And for that, she received a community award. Now, Marcel, the son, was apparently a smart kid who at that time now worked as a respectable lawyer. But one person from the family was missing. Blanche Monnier was the daughter of, you know, of the estate. And the thing is, no one has seen her for 25 years. Like, during the time that before she disappeared, she was at an age where people would be courting her and like she would have to go marry herself off to another family.
Yeah, the typical na ano.
Yeah, if you've watched Bridgerton, yeah, it's like sort of like that. So this person, see Blanche, she was gentle and good-natured. And when she vanished, the people were like, huh, she vanished. And then they just went about with their lives, not even thinking like what happened and stuff like that.
Uh-uh.
The police were kind of like, huh, this did happen a few years ago. So maybe we could check around the house, you know, like maybe help solve this case of the missing person, right? So they were looking around the house, and at first they didn't notice anything. Everything was fine. The rooms were clean, spotless. The maids were all like cleaning everywhere. Everything was good and clean until they noticed one of the doors in the estate was padlocked. And when they got closer to the door, they started smelling something very disgusting. Like, this putrid, awful smell was coming from the room. So they were like, okay, what is in here? And so with whatever they had, like probably a gun, I don't know. They smashed open the padlock to the door. And slowly, the door opened. Inside, they saw a pitch black room. And like the only window in the room was shuttered closed and was like, you know, hidden behind thick curtains. When The police entered the room. The smell got so strong that they had to open the window, and just as light entered the room, they saw everything that was making the smell. Rotten food littered the floor surrounding an old bed, and on the old bed were dry pee, bits and pieces of poop, and there were rats everywhere from like the floor eating scraps of food. And then when they looked on the bed, they saw a woman was chained to it. So now I want you to turn to the third picture, the last picture.
Oh, is this her?
Yes, that is her. That woman was Blanche Monnier. When the police opened the window, that was her first time seeing the sun in 25 years. Apparently, she was naked and tied to the bed, and she could not even get up to relieve herself, so all the poop and all the pee surrounded her bed. And then when they opened the window, you know what she said? She said, "How lovely it is to finally breathe fresh air." Bother you at all? Like, doesn't that, like, what did she go through?
I'm gonna guess. Can I guess? Because I feel like I've read this before. Can I guess what happened? And correct me.
I feel like you're gonna spoil it, so maybe hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Okay. Right. So Blanche Monnier was tied naked to the bed, and yeah, she was tied because during her courtship, when she was younger, she had fallen in love with a low-class lawyer, and her mother tried to stop her from continuing with the courtship, and like she was like, "You should marry with someone of a higher class, because, you know, we're high class people, you know, like you should marry, you were high society, so you should marry somebody who's also high society." So she was like that, and Blanche was like, "No, I am marrying this man. I love this man so much. Yeah, I am smitten. The courtship worked. He did his little dance, and I was head over heels for this guy." When the mom could not change Blanche's mind, she had her tied up into the bed and locked up in a room that was not her room until she decided to change her mind. She did not, and this went on for years. Eventually, the low-class lawyer died already, and still, she wouldn't change her mind. And even though he already died, they still wouldn't let her go. For what reason? So when they found out, when the police found out everything that happened, both the mother and Marcel were arrested for, you know, like what they did to poor Blanche. Blanche was immediately taken to the hospital, but she was so psychologically damaged that she had to spend the rest of her days in a French sanitarium, where she died like in 1913, so like around 10 years later. And when the public, the Parisian public, found out about what happened to Miss Blanche, they were all so angry. Like, mobs formed outside the estate.
They canceled them, basically.
Yeah, they got canceled, olden style. So if you look at the second picture, that's like one of the
articles.
One of the articles that was released. Because of, you know, what happened. And then there it's depicted the Blanche, who is skin and bones, by the way. Skin and bones on the bed. And the police discovering her. And then there's, like, cobwebs all over the place. And, like, rats everywhere.
I'm not sure how malnourished and shit. Because, like, I'm pretty sure they don't feed her as often as, like, you should feed. Because she for the moms, like, this is me punishing you, so why should I? Because, like, back in the day, like, they don't really make people eat a lot if, like, they're being punished, in a sense.
Yeah, apparently.
So they starve you.
No, they didn't make her starve. They fed her the mom's scraps.
So basically, okay, alright.
The leftovers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What a loving mother!
So they weren't purposely trying to make her starve. They fed her, but only the scraps of the mom's food. Like, what a shitty woman. Yun, public outrage, right? And mobs formed outside the estate. And because of that, The mother actually died of a heart attack 15 days after Blanche was discovered because there was just so much commotion happening outside the estate. People were angry. People were looking down on this family. Like, how could they do this to Blanche? Sweet, gentle Blanche. And I mean, I'm not saying anything, but good karma, you know? Just saying. So Marcel was put to trial, but he actually walked free on claims that Blanche could have just walked out anytime she chose to. All she had to do was like say that I don't want to be with the man anymore. Yeah. I'm going to marry Rich. But she didn't. But still, you know, you don't do that to somebody. You don't force them to be locked. You don't imprison someone against their will, you know? Like, you don't, like, just because they didn't want to marry, like, a high-class person and they wanted to marry somebody they love, you know? But, yeah, they were a really shitty family. And, you know, till this day, actually, nobody knows who sent the letter. So, that is my story. What you think?
I always feel bad for, like, you know, like women in that era. Because, like, most of the time, women in that era, they're always, like, in a sense na political pawns, kumbaga, na like, oh, if you have a daughter and like you're in that kind of society, na like, okay, I can get my daughter to marry this other guy's kid so that like I can have either more power or security for my family down the line and whatever, whatever. And then like, you know, it's like, it's one of those things that like, it's just shitty, you know, like the way women are treated back in the day.
And especially a woman doing that to a fellow woman. You know, like,
which is just like, it's just a cycle disgusting. Of violence. Like,
yeah, so that's it. That is my story. Nins, what is your story?
So mine is a little bit long, so stay with us. So we're still in the 1900s. So this is back in the 1950s.
Wow, are we choosing like the same stories?
Era. No.
Yeah,
mine like spans for like a couple of years. So
I think slowly and slowly our stories are merging. I'm waiting for the day that we both have
the same story.
Yeah, we'll just both have the same story. Because just for the people like out here, for the people listening, no, we've never had the same story. We've never had the same story.
No, like I think.
I mean, we've talked about. Yeah, almost. Like, but we've never.
You're gonna do this story. All right, let me change mine.
We've never had like the same story like coming in. Because for the people who don't know, we come into these things without knowing each other's story. Like we have a title that we give to the other person, and then we're like, okay.
Like search on the other person's story.
Yeah, we don't search each other's story. We come into this blind. So we're hearing. For the first time. Nins, your story, please continue.
1950s. There's a popular trend in the UK where, for some reason, over 50,000 copies of a particular painting of various children crying are being hanged in people's walls. So these children, these crying children or kids, they were like basically represented as often poor but yet beautiful. So there's like a notion for some reason back in the day, and like, oh, they like to hang, like, oh, this is a kid crying, a painting or whatever.
Why?
Which is honestly weird, right? But like at the same time, it's not that weird because if you think about it, back in the day, it was the author ng Alice in Wonderland. He was also like, that's why people think that he's a pedo because he has photos of kids. Because like back in the day, photos were very like expensive and like unique in a sense. So people would like take photos of children. Because oh, children are innocent and blah 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 blah. So like a lot of people have a lot of photos of a lot of children. So it's not just him, which is like it's a very normal thing to do. It's a trend, dila. So in 1950s, this was a trend in the UK. Na like they have photos or paintings rather of kids crying. Weird, but okay.
Yeah, weird.
Would you hang a photo of like a kid crying in your wall?
Why
like
would
some
I?
Some random child.
Just like some random kid, and like, and then I have my own kids. Look, if you don't eat, I'm gonna put you in that painting. That's probably what I'm gonna do. You know, like scare the children.
Just threaten them.
Like, if you don't eat your vegetables, you're gonna end up like that kid. You're gonna be stuck in that painting forever. See. Yeah, see, he's crying.
Cry
all.
Like,
you know what happened to him? Because he did not eat his vegetables, and then he got sucked into the painting, and then you know.
So. Sorry, it's just, it's like I can picture the scene. But, right. So, you know the Sun, the publishing company, right? I think everyone has heard of the Sun.
Right? Uh-huh.
So, in the 1985, they actually published...
Are we talking about the Sun? Okay, yeah. The Sun, like the newspaper Sun.
Publishing,
okay.
Yeah, not the actual Sun that you can see in the...
Yeah, I was like,
that's why
okay.
That's why I mentioned about the company. So, they published an article that basically ended an artist's career. This artist's name was Bruno Amadio, or he's also known as Giovanni Barregolin. That's his... Barregolin is his art name. So, imagine in the middle of the night, you wake up, and then, like, your house is burned, and then, like, there's nothing left. And then, like, everything, all of your worldly possessions. You're fine, sure, for, like, you don't have a house anymore, and all your possessions are just ash. Except for a painting that you probably bought from this artist. This is what happened to a couple named Roy and Mary Hall. In the middle of the night in South Yorkshire, England, where, again, house is on fire, and they bought this painting of Barregolin, who the name of the painting is The Crying Boy. Over 60 of these paintings were sold, and up until the early 80s, prints and reprints were being mass-produced. The couple claimed that the cause of this fire was because of the painting, not of, like, the... whatever the firefighters said is the cause of it. At the same time, later on, the firefighters claimed that, one of them claimed that, like, 15 houses that, like, he was attending to throughout, like, years seguro, like, they all had one thing in common, which was the painting of the boy was there, and everything else was burned except for the painting, which is just weird, right? So,
Yeah, that's so weird.
I sent you, like, two photos of two articles that the Sun published. So if you see, here's the photos. The second photo is where the title is "Crying Boy Curse Strikes Again." There's a photo of a couple, their kids, and the painting, right? So I actually looked into see if are there like more of these photos and whatever, or these paintings. For some reason, there's three articles that I've sent Andrew, and all three have different paintings of a boy crying. So I don't know which one is the original, especially since, like, again, this was a trend. So, like, a lot of people, most likely a lot of different artists, made their own, like, sort of versions of a boy crying.
Should we do our own version, you know? Like, we should, like, have... Like, it's just you and me.
You should send me a photo
then...
of you, na, like, you're a child. And then, like, I can, like, redraw you. And then, like, you're crying.
Ah, you know, yung child filter sa, ano, Snapchat.
Oh, pwede rin. Pwede rin.
Yeah. And then you just do your normal face because you are, ano, you're a child.
I'm always crying.
And then?
In light of, like, the whole, like, the Sun article, a lot of people bought into the story, na, like, maybe this is true, blah, 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 especially since, like, the firefighter claimed, na, like, 15 houses, diba, that he attended. All the same issue. A painting of some child burned their house. So, the Sun wrote more claims, which, and there's five of these claims, so I'm gonna, like, do a speed run. A woman in Surrey lost her house after 6 months of buying the painting. I don't know which paintings these are. If I know, because like there were no photos on the article. So Kilsburn, two sisters, their houses were on fire after buying copies of the painting, and then one of the sisters claimed that the painting swayed backwards and forwards against the wall, so probably possessed the copy. A woman in Isles of Wight attempted to burn her painting Like, she had a copy of the Crying Boy in a painting, but without success. And she claimed that she had, like, terrible luck soon after. Like, she burned it throughout the years. In Nottingham, a gentleman owned a copy, and because of he owns the copy, he lost his home, his family was injured. In Norfolk, a pizza parlor was destroyed, including all of the paintings that they had in the parlor, except for the painting of the crying boy. Yeah, people were like, okay, so like, let's not have this painting in our houses. Like, let's just not. They basically avoided having photos of children or a kid crying, especially a boy crying in their walls. Now they had to take them down because of fear of the curse. The question is, who is the boy in the painting? Like, which one is the real or original painting? So a lot of people speculated that, it could be this some gypsy child whose family placed a curse on the artist. There are other people who claim that the kid in the painting is a kid who died in the fire and the soul is now trapped within the painting. So the most famous theory was the boy was a Spanish street urchin called Don Bolino, whose parents died in a fire. But no one wanted to take him in because wherever he stays, a fire would somehow start. Years later on,
An unidentified
body was found inside a ruin. Isa pa.
One more.
An unidentified body was found inside a ruin. Stop! Sorry, Wes.
Don't edit, cut like, this whole part. Don't shit. Cut this whole part. Keep it in. Skip the word.
And an unidentified body.
I told you, skip the word.
The body was found inside a ruins of a charred car. Later, they were able to find the license, and the name of the license was Don Bonillo, which was the same as the kid who they think was the one who's on the painting.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real evidence, though, that was like, oh, is this Don Bonillo's story real, or which one is real, right? So there's no, like, concrete evidence on, like, what happened, who is this kid, blah, 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 blah. Except for, like, the fact that most likely, the artist basically just painted street children. That's just it. There's, like, no extravagant, because, like, that's where, like, people back then most likely took inspiration from, you know, like they see kids in the street and whatever, and then decided to paint them. So in the Halloween of 1985, under the supervision of the fire brigade, they were able to gather hundreds of these paintings. They collected them and they set fire to them. That's why, like, you can see on the article, the first one, you can see that this guy is like showing off, you know, like, oh look, we're burning the painting. Yay for them. So yeah, so that's basically the story of the crying boy in a painting. Actually, 11 years ago, BBC even found a copy of the painting. And then they tried to burn the painting as well, their copy of the painting. I think this could have been the original, but again, I'm not 100% sure. I've sent Andrew the link. It's like a short video lang. If you look at the painting that BBC burned, and on the painting on the article, the first article, it's a different painting, but sure. Probably the same artist, so it's could be the same shit. Do you want to watch the video? It's a YouTube video from BBC.
This is them burning the yeah, portrait, it's, right?
It's comedian, I forgot his name.
I'm watching it right now. Painting. They're burning it, and then it's just burning. And I bet you, like, I put it on mute, so I'm guessing, like, the anchor is, like, talking about...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it didn't burn. What the hell?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
It did not burn.
So, guy who's, like, talking about the painting... they said that it's most likely the artist used, like, a special coating. Because when you do paintings and whatever, usually after you paint, you add another layer to your painting so that, like, to protect it, varnish or whatever, depending on, like, the medium. Usually it's varnish, I think. And then probably the artist, Giovanni, he probably, like, had, like, a special mixture of whatever to prevent na, like, the painting being burnt, to protect the painting in case of house fires or whatever. So that could have been it.
I have an idea. You know how we're, like, constantly, like, having to deal with house fires? Why don't we just make a house that's filled with these paintings?
With the same.
You know, it's just made out of these paintings. We will just survive. That. Yeah, like the house will survive. Or the fire will be contained. Rains. And then when it rains, it pours.
Apparently, there could be still copies of this painting somewhere in the world. And then I think some people price them as, like, as low as 60 to almost 200 pounds or something. Like, that's, like, the estimate. Because I looked it up. That's, like, the general estimate now. If someone still has a copy of them and, like, if you want to buy them, maybe you can get your hands on them for some reason. I don't know.
Who would want to?
Like, yeah, that's why, like, the price isn't that expensively, insanely high. Even though, like, it does come with, like, an insane story. Actually, the lines, the BBC guy, he was like, oh, I'm not gonna risk it, would you? Because, like, people were, like, asking him, like, oh, are you, what are you gonna do now since it's there with you? He's like, I'm just gonna leave it by the porch. I'm not gonna risk it putting it inside.
Okay, so that was your story. Thank you so much, Ninya. Thank you. And now it is time for the brain fart. What did we... No, sorry. What did we...
I like how you kind of confused yourself there for a second. Like, you were going to say me, and then you went with we.
No. What did we... Like, you know, like French. Like, we... What did we learn today?
Apparently Jack is French.
No, it's not... Jack is not French. I'm pretty sure he's not French. He is...
We should ask him. We should have him over again.
Why would we have him over? He has never been... Like, he's gone. He's long gone. He's disappeared. Mm-hmm. We don't need him in his in this life anymore.
We can have him again.
It's not Jack. It's Jacques.
Hey, Jacques.
It's a different person. It's a different person. Jacques.
Jacques.
Oh my god, you know, all this name, like, every time we repeat his name, we're gonna speak him into existence. Anyway,
he's gonna summon him one day.
Yeah, we're gonna summon him one day. Yeah, my brain fart is that we should build houses made out of...
With paintings.
Yeah, made out of fireproof child crying paintings.
Can you imagine, though, like, a wall? Because they're, like, wallpapers and shit. Wallpapers were, like, huge back in the day. Can you imagine wallpapers of just this?
You're, like, sleeping, and then, like, your room is just full of crying children staring at you.
That's weird.
I mean, you know, it's kind of creepy in an endearing way. Anyway.
I'm good, thanks.
That is it for today's episode, everybody. Thank you so much. Once again, if you want to watch or get your hands on the stuff that we talked about on this episode, it's all on the Farts Tutors page. We got called out. You know, we got called out last time. We got called out because apparently we don't post what we say, what we post on the show. But I'm like, the past few episodes, we really didn't have anything to post on the show, like on the group. So, you know, definitely we will be posting all of these when the episode comes out. And time to end the show. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Frightening, Alarming, Real Life Tales show. You can follow Ninya on all her socials at Nin C. Fernandez. That's NINCFERNANDEZ. I'm at the Andrew Tops on everything. And the show's Facebook and Twitter is at FartsPod. We've got a group on Facebook that you can join. We post everything we talk about on the show and any scary stuff we may come across. If you've got a scary story you'd like to share with us, then you can email fartspod@gmail.com or message us on all our socials. Nins, thank you so much for coming.
The Frightening, Alarming, Real Life Tales show comes out with new episodes every Friday at 3 a.m. It is hosted by me, Nina Claire Fernandez, and Andrew Tupino. Our intro song is an original by Key Studios and edited by Wesley of Review. Cover art and logo by Tirso Tan Jr. Andrew Tupino is the executive producer. This show is produced by SB3 Studios and is a proud member of Pilipinas Indie Podcast Entertainment Network. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.